one particular phrase stuck in my mind, and it's a simple message, one you've heard before and probably one you'll hear again. I think as Christians we need to continuously guard ourselves of pride and arrogance. It's an arrogant statement, how great I art. And while I may be aware of it, I'm just putting it up there as an example. I think that we and mankind quickly become a little too big for our britches, if you've ever heard that term before. I knew an older guy. He'd served in the Korean War. He was a black belt in karate. And didn't go into a lot of detail about some of his missions and assignments, but it was pretty clear. You didn't mess with this guy. He had a grandson that was the apple of his eye. And he started taking karate. And this young boy was very good. And it's great to excel. It's great to see people take something on and become good at what they're doing. It actually says in the Bible to do all things as though they were being done for God. But we tend to go beyond that as people. And we begin to think how great I art. Well, this boy became so good at karate, he actually told his grandfather, a seasoned veteran, and he told him, he said, I could beat you. I'm so good, I could beat you. And Ed said, it was funny, except that he was serious. So the passage in Isaiah, does the axe raise itself above him who swings it? Technology is great. We've built our United States on technology. Our military is strong because of technology. Our economy is strong because of technology. And it gets to a point where we become an island in ourselves. We no longer need God. We've become so wealthy due to the excessive earnings in the United States and the ability to hand down wealth to our family that this wealth begins to accrue and grow. And pretty soon, you're doing so well, you've got everything you need. Who needs God? We as Christians need to remember that we always need God. We need to thank Him for everything. Don't get me wrong, I like technology, I like riches, and God has nothing against it either, in its right place and with a balance. The microphone I'm wearing right now is a good piece of technology. It helps you all hear me better. I don't have to yell at the top of my lungs. My throat's a little sore right now, so I'm thankful. But let's not forget that God gave me the voice I have. I don't expect you to remember these or write them down. I just wanted to put them up there. But one passage from Isaiah and the rest are from Job. Job was an interesting person in the Bible. And he was very successful. He was a successful farmer in Uz, spelled U-Z. He had thousands of sheep, cattle, and camels. He had servants and a beautiful house. And when Satan the accuser came before God, and he told God that, well, he's only in this for the money. He's only in this for the wealth. Sure, he's a good believer as long as things are going his way. And it all comes down to foundations. What is our faith and foundation based on? Is it based on the success of the world and what they tell us? Get ahead at all costs, make money, you know, get out there and go, go, go. It's kind of funny, the recipe for success is the same recipe for a nervous breakdown. How great I art? Question mark. Isaiah 10:15. Does the axe raise itself above him who swings it, or the saw boast against him who uses it? As if a rod were to wield him who lifts it up, or a club brandish him who is not wood. So, I started thinking about this, and this is basically what my sermon is built on. And it's a sermon about pride and arrogance, and the need to continually remind ourselves as Christians who we are, what we believe in, what our foundation is based on. And it's no wonder. I was riding around with a sister of a friend of my daughter, and this little girl said that there's a boy at my school who said he doesn't believe in God because he can't see him. She was kind of questioning it and buying into it. And it's faith in the unseen. It's very hard to have the solid faith we really need, that God requires of us. When we have a faith in the unseen, what do we see? Man-made products. Constantly. Man-made products. It kind of tends to brainwash a person, especially a person that doesn't have a faith in Christ or give the Lord the credit due for making all things. We don't create anything, we make things. And we'll talk more about that later. So they go on and they have these fabulous resorts. I mean, they're fabulous. They actually brought the sand in for that beach. You know, they dredged that marina, and they built this fabulous hotel with a view to die for almost at all points. It's actually, they call it a heaven on earth. It's in Mexico. Modern buildings and cities. I mean, we build these fantastic buildings, and they're computerized. They've got smart buildings, green buildings. This is what people see continuously. The nighttime, you've got lights, electricity, all this energy and power. Some of these people that live in the inner cities never get out of them. All they see their whole lives are man-made products. Paved roads, buildings. It's all man-made. Not man-created, but man-made. We've gone a little further. We've created weapons of destruction. Is it easier to create or destroy? It's easier to destroy. I think we all know that. Anybody that's tried to keep something perfect, it slowly comes apart. You know, it's never better than its new condition. We like our weapons of power and destruction. Larger weapons. And even larger weapons. Machines that fly. And bigger machines that fly. Just working around a 747. It's just amazing at Boeing. The period of time I worked there, I had quite a battle with pride and arrogance because I considered myself to be one of the better assemblers. And while people less talented than I were drilling too big of holes or crooked holes and causing all this damage to the airplane, and I would, you know, if I didn't say it out loud, I'd be saying it in my own mind. What's your problem? How come you can't do that? Sure enough, I'd drill a crooked hole and quickly be reminded, humbled, because I'm only human myself. How about medical advances? They're changing knees like I change socks. I mean, it's great. I have nothing against it. They actually did the first face transplant. I thought that was something in a fiction movie with John Travolta, but it became true. I mean, the Buck Rogers of yesterday is today's reality. And medical advances are great. I'm not putting them down. I'm not. It's just that doctors aren't God. They're here to help us. Sometimes they can solve the problem and sometimes they can't. Mechanical wonders. You know, it's great. It's a lot of fun. Gee, I think you can do about 200 miles an hour in a Porsche like that. Sports cars, super bikes, power, fast, makes you feel great. But let's not forget God. How about our space exploration? They're able to break free of our atmosphere, take our oxygen with them. They don't make the oxygen. Modern electronics, there's a razor phone, wireless technology, it's amazing. I think the last 20 years, we have made some real technological advances. Recently, you know, the cell phone started out about like that, and now they're a couple 6 ounces and as thin as thinner than a wallet. And, you know, we've really made some big advances. Microwaves, everybody's got a computer, if not two, in their home. It used to be that not everybody had a TV. Back that up. There's a lot of other weirder stuff out there, but I just ran into this and I thought that it was interesting. It used to be in kindergarten they gave me a bracelet to wear. It had my vital information on it, name, address, phone number. And well, now they've got this, it looks like an implant. You can put in a space where a tooth used to go. I don't think I'd want one pulled out for that, but maybe if the space were available, they're saying they can put all your medical records, security clearances, etc. in this thing. I don't know how you'd probably access it from a wireless ability. That's a different type of Bluetooth. How about the NASA supercomputers? Incidentally, I read somewhere, it was a rebuttal to that the greatest computer is the one God gave you in your head. It's your brain, the human brain. They're always trying to. What are they trying? What's the benchmark? They're trying to make something that can think as fast as the human brain. If not faster. But so we depend upon energy and fuels for our power. We have fossil fuels, water, chemical energy, solar, wind. And did you know, if you think about it, we only receive one source of power daily. The rest of it's already here. There is no more. And that's sun. The sun comes daily. Everything else is already here. And I brought this up just because of the power. Just because we seek power. We seek perfection. And I think that it's understandable. We were created in the image of God, who is perfect, but we're not anymore. Yet we want to be. We expect things to be perfect. We want things to be perfect, and we're frustrated when they aren't. So we want power, even if it's the power to destroy. So we harness energy into doing work for us. Power is the rate of doing work. Horsepower is 3,300 feet per minute, or one horsepower. Energy is neither created or destroyed. It is converted and used by us. They figured that horsepower thing off by a standard horse could pull that much weight that fast. And that's that formula we have used for years. And I said before, to create or to make. And Webster's, it tells us that the create is to bring something into existence, something from nothing. To make is the act of producing or manufacturing, the assembly. So you're not creating anything. You are only taking what God has already given us and using it to our benefit, making it do something else. And that's as great as we are. I also read, and they're not in a big hurry to put it out, that they were making body parts, ears and noses and things, and skin and stuff like that for burn patients. And they unraveled the human, the gene codes, and I was reading that this stuff is actually not working out as well as they'd hoped. It would have been great for burn patients. I could see a benefit in it, but these ears are growing tumors. They aren't stable. So, you know, mankind, we want to play God. We want to make people. We want to clone people. We want to, basically, we're trying to play God, and it's not working out. Only God is God. And again, I'll repeat this statement now after going through that. And this is out of the Message. I shy away from this book, but I like the way he worded this. And it may not be the best translation, but it's a good interpretation. And it's the same verse, 10:15. Does an axe take over from the one who swings it? Does a saw act more important than the sawer? As if a shovel did its shoveling by using a ditch digger. As if a hammer used the carpenter to pound nails. That's my point. I go into a Job where Job was given quite a talking to. And I found this very useful, and it's very well explained. Where God just says, you know, who are you? Who are you? Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Who marked off? Did I skip that? Yeah. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? It's at his direction and not ours. Gregory had a baseball game yesterday at 2 o'clock. It got rained out. And I was thinking, I wish it wasn't raining. It was beautiful on Friday. It was pretty good today. But it had to rain yesterday. Well, it's not at our direction. It's at his. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters the lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. He brings the clouds to punish men, or to water his earth, or show his love. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. The young man, the three friends, and there was a young man named Elihu that was telling Job this, and that was Elihu speaking. And they were telling Job that he was being punished because he'd sinned, or he'd somewhere gone wrong, that he was arrogant, and that he needed to apologize, to repent. Well, he didn't think he'd done any wrong, and really he hadn't. It was just that he was being tested. He maintained his faith. He lost his whole family. He lost everything he owned. It was a riches to rags to riches story. He never stopped believing. He never walked off his foundation, which was God. He never told God that I'm through. His own wife told him, swear God off, curse him, if this is what he's doing for you. It's often not God that punishes us. He does at times. A lot of it's by our own doing. A lot of it's through the devil trying to break us down. We just need to remember. When all the things of this world give up, when all the things fail, are we going to throw our hands up in the air and quit? I was watching a movie the other night, not a very good one, in War of the Worlds, the new one. The only part in it I liked was that all the technology failed, all the cars shut down, the cell phones stopped working, the electricity went out. And people were just, and I can see it happening. They didn't know what to do. They did not know what to do. This is where we need our faith the most. We shouldn't swear off God. Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of Him who is perfect in knowledge. You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hushed under the sound south wind, can you join Him in spreading out the skies, hard as a mirror or cast bronze? Tell us what we should say to Him. We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Would any man ask to be swallowed up? No one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies, after the winds have swept them clean. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. God is not in it to punish us. He's in it to bring us back to Him. When we walk away, when we become an island and turn our back on God, that's when He will shake us a bit to get our attention. Job 37:5. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. We should seek to know God. We should seek to know the mind of God. While we never will, the Bible has opportunity for greater insight if we study it to see what it is that He wants from us. He did not put us down here, contrary to what many people say, without any instruction or idea of what He wants from us. He wants to be acknowledged as the sovereign Lord and Creator that He is. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain, shower. Be a mighty downpour. So that all men He has made, many know His work. He stops every man from his labor. The animals take cover, they remain in their dens. The tempest comes out from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. This is off the Noah ship in the North Pole. thought that was a neat, it's a through a fisheye lens, kind of a neat picture. That's too cold for me. He lowers the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. Neat picture. That's a swirl. And it's Hurricane Mitch approaching Honduras in 1998. This is Elihu's message to Job and to us. He brings the clouds to punish men, or water to his earth to show his love. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how he controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? If he holds back the waters, there is drought. If he lets them loose, they devastate the land. Do you know how? Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge? You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hush under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies? Hard as a mirror on the cast bronze. I repeated that because it's a question. These kind of questions aren't asked. People don't ask these questions. Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot drop our case because of our darkness. We don't know. Scientists understand the elements. They can backwards engineer things to see what they're made out of, but they cannot create them or control them. We are not lords of life and death. We are not able to control the weather. Or I wouldn't have had it rain yesterday. Should he be told that I want to speak, would any man ask to be swallowed up? So am I going to go challenging God, telling him that, why'd you make it rain yesterday? He has his reasons. He has his reasons for all things. 21, 22, and 23. The last verse. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Who is a teacher like him? God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who has prescribed his ways for him? Or said to him, you have done wrong. Remember to extol his work, which men have praised in song. All mankind has seen it. Men gaze on it from afar. I like the younger classes where they're showing the movies of about animals and about nature. And children love that stuff. The deers, the turtles, the penguins, as they come out, and how they are naturally and instinctively driven through survival and a built-in code of what to do. They're not dependent. They know what to do. God's made them like that. Green pastures. Now, if you know a company that can make that, give me their reference. I'd like to have that contact because I'd like to have them put together a few things. How great is God? Beyond our understanding. The number of his years is past finding out. He draws up the drops of water which distill as rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds? How he thunders from his pavilion? See how he scatters the lightning about him, bathing the depths of the sea? This is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. Job 36:2-5. Bear with me a little longer, and I will show you that there is more to be said in God's behalf. I get my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe justice to my Maker. Be assured that my words are not false. One perfect in knowledge is with you. God is mighty, but does not despise men. He is mighty and firm in his purpose. He does not take his eyes off the righteous. He enthrones them with kings and exalts them forever. But if men are bound in chains, held fast by cords of affliction, he tells them what they have done, that they have sinned arrogantly. He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. They will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. A lot of the times it seems that only the good die young. And I know a lot of people who should have gone before that man. Why are they still here? Why do they always seem to win? It might seem that way. But in the end, they'll get their just desserts. Our faith in the unseen. So I told that little girl, who was a little friend, the boy had said that he didn't believe in God because he couldn't see him. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. It makes sense to me, and it makes sense to kids even better, to where my rebuttal was that, well, we can't see the air, but if we didn't have it, we couldn't breathe. We can't see the air. We can see what it does when it moves the leaves, when it blows the trees. She accepted that, and I hope she goes and tells him that. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I believe. I believe there is a God. But I have to admit, some days are better than others. And I do pray. That I pray to God, and I like to say that this is the same thing that was said in the past by probably many other men and women, that, you know, Lord, I do believe, but strengthen me where there's unbelief. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear. It's as if we've been given a glimpse ahead at a movie that nobody else has seen. We know the ending. We know the plot. And we can sit there and we can know that God will win in the end. We've been given that insight. And we can see and hear because of God's final word that was left with us. If we would just read it and apply it to our lives. And believe and hold fast with God. Pray. I forget to pray. I said that last time. I'm sorry, I haven't reached perfection in that yet. I can excuse myself for being a man and a problem solver naturally. But when I have problems, I'll do my best to solve them. And then, like the instruction pamphlet, then I'll pray. When I try and put it together and I can't get it together, then I read the instructions. I said last time as well, I think children pray more than adults because they are used to asking for help. And we just, as adults, we just aren't. We need to remember to pray. And we'd have God's help. Our best attempts on our own are not as good as what we can do with God's help. You read about weakness all through Corinthians. Paul talks about weakness. When I'm weak, I'm strong. And to paraphrase, or, you know, to give my interpretation of that, you'll see it in 2 Corinthians 13. And all through Corinthians, as I said. But what I see that as saying is that on our best attempt, no matter how good we are, no matter how rich, how strong, or how noble we are, we could always do better enlisting the help of God. If you ask, seek, and knock, why would you knock on a door if you didn't think somebody wasn't going to answer? We should pray. Pray earnestly and expect those prayers to be answered. And of course, we have to expect the answer to be no at times. Jesus answered. They said, show us the Father. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? See, the people have been asking to see God for a long time. And his own disciples, who were given great and lengthy training, asked. Faith in the unseen. Is it really unseen? Ezekiel 12:2. Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see. Ears to hear, but do not hear. They are a rebellious people. Was that written yesterday? Because it's still pretty currently true. just remember God and invite His help. And I wrote this down. I wanted to be sure I got this right. And I'm just going to have to read it here. It's just that as we approach a time of remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion on Easter, let us remember as well that it is not by our own work that we are saved, but again by the real power that comes from God. No man is an island. We may think arrogantly at times that we can stand alone, but when we do not stand as strong as when our God is asked to be with us and we acknowledge His power. Ekklesia is a Greek word. I thought it was kind of neat. It means church. Ek, to be taken out. Lesia, set apart from. I take out my wallet and set apart a credit card. We are His church, set apart. And let us not be as arrogant as the axe. We should see and recognize God's work. We need to be cautious of arrogance. We should seek to know the Son that we may know God. We should listen, read, and most importantly, apply God's word that we may now have knowledge of the real power and the one God that wields it. How great Thou art, our sovereign Lord and Creator. Thank You.
Thanks, John. We appreciate that. We have a few closing announcements here. And this morning I made an announcement about our announcements. And again, tonight I will make an announcement about our announcements. The announcements at the close of our services are meant to focus on the highlights of various upcoming events. We cannot discuss in detail, of course, all of the upcoming events because we're very busy. We will make every attempt to mention a contact person from whom you can get more details. In other words, if you need more detail than you're getting in the announcements, we'll tell you somebody that you can contact. And secondly, of course, there's always the bulletin. So we can't provide all of the details every time we do the announcements. So we have a lot going on here. Just a quick synopsis of some of our upcoming events. Tomorrow night will be the youth group meeting. We'll be here at 6:30, so there's a change from the regular schedule. Seattle Youth Rally coming up April 13th, and Daryl Chase is a contact person on that. Keith?
The rally is May 5th through 7th, but the youth have their running in by the 13th.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. That's right. You save actually $10 by getting your enrollment in early. So you want to do that. So May 5th through 7th is the